101.7 KAYL, talking with Chris Daughtry of Daughtry. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome. Good to talk to you.
I want to thank you, first of all, for joining me. And you are going to be in Sioux City, Iowa, coming up on August 8th. So we want to promote the tour. Tickets go on sale today. So we just kind of want to get everybody ready to go to the concert. I am looking forward to it myself, big time.
Yay!
So here's the thing. Daughtry, 4 albums. You have over 8 million sold. 4 number ones so far. 4 Grammy nods. Sold out concerts worldwide. What did you ever think when you auditioned for American Idol? Did you have a clue that this was the way it was going to play out?
No. I had no idea, actually. My hopes was to get more gigs. You know what I mean? Like, at the time I was playing these small bars and clubs, and it was, I felt like I was spinning wheels. I was playing for the guest list, you know, pretty much. You know, it never felt like, this was years before, YouTube was such a huge tool for musicians and getting your voice out there. So, I was, kind of at the mercy of whoever was coming to the show that week, and it just felt like I was spinning wheels. So that, to me, was a huge opportunity just to get in front of as many people as possible, and that was my only goal at the time, just to be able to play music and make somewhat of a living out of it. I had no idea it was going to turn into a worldwide thing, so I could not have expected that.
Well, yeah, because once you were in the running, you just absolutely blew up. I mean, it was just week after week after week, you just blew up. And I think that the entire country was in shock the night you got voted off. I mean, I was about in tears, to be honest with you. So it was just a crazy night. But I tell you what, the thing about that is not winning, I think, was probably the best thing that could happen to you, because you were able to form Daughtry, and you guys have had success ever since.
Yeah, I mean, I tend not to think about what could have been, so I never really go like, oh, what would have happened if I won? You know, I take things for how they are now, and I don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity I had and the experience, and I'm glad for how things turned out, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the guys in Daughtry, because you're the front man, but, you know, a lot of the times the guys in the band don't get any recognition. So how did you come up with the guys, with the band?
Well, kind of a bit of an audition process. A couple of the guys actually the original lineup from the first record is pretty much the same now as it was when the first record came out, with the exception of our drummer and an addition of a keyboard player, Elvio Fernandez. So my guitar player, Brian, I knew years ago, like from when I was a teenager working in, you know, or playing in the clubs in Charlottesville, Virginia, and so we kind of knew each other for years. And then when the audition happened and we had kind of got the lineup going, one of the guys that kind of made the cut bowed out, like, right before the tour. He was just like, not my thing. And so I called up Brian and was like, hey, dude, what are you doing? And he flew in and auditioned, like, a week before the tour started, so it was a bit of a crazy thing. But long story short, all those guys are still in the band, and we've just been touring ever since, and we all get along, and it's a good chemistry for sure.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. Which is a good thing. Now, I notice, you know, me being a fan, all your songs are really diverse. When you're writing your songs, Chris, where do you get your inspiration from?
Life. I have no idea what I'm going to write about until it happens. And a lot of times it has something to do with what's going on that day or in the world, or something that sparks some sort of lyrical content that kind of starts a journey through whatever, and you kind of make sense of it at the time. Sometimes you kind of know exactly what you're writing about, and then there's times where you start the process and you go, I don't know where we're headed here, and we got to figure that out, and start just pulling from everything around you. I think that's really all you can write about is is what you know.
Right, right. And let's talk a little bit about Cage to Rattle. Now, I have listened to Deep End, and if the rest of the album is as good as that song, I think you guys are in for another big hit. Tell me a little bit about Cage to Rattle. Yeah. Sometimes it kind of goes in the flow.
It's been so long. since we've come out with a record. You know, we Baptized came out in 2013, and we had no idea we were going to take this long to make this record. And there's a song called Death of Me that was one of the first songs I wrote for the album back in 2015 or 16 or something like that. And things just felt really hard during that time. We had moved a couple times, and I don't know if you've ever moved before, but moving is like the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. And that kind of put a damper on work in general, because we had to get everybody settled, and the life started again in Los Angeles, and trying to figure all that out. And then just things felt unusually difficult. It felt hard to manage my career at the time. It felt very hard to get inspired to write. And I remember going into the session, and I was just bitching about everything. Like, the weather sucked. Everything was just wrong. And all of that stress and frustration poured itself into the song. And there was a, you know, we all have another day, another battle. We all have a cage to rattle. And that was later on in the process when we started recording the record. We were tracking that song, and I was just like, this feels like this, what this is completely, this wraps the record up in three words. You know, it feels like this record wasn't an easy thing to make. It was everything leading up to it was a bit of a struggle. And I say that because, you know, a lot of times people think it's all fun and games and easy, and I think it was a point in my career where I was second guessing everything. Mm-hmm. Second guessing myself as a writer, second guessing if what we're doing on this record is relevant, if it's good enough. And it just, I was kind of rattling my own cage, to mm-hmm. be quite honest. And so it just felt like the right title for the record.
Yeah, I think it's great. And you know, one thing I've noticed over the years with you guys following your progress, the venues that you started out in as to the venues that you entertain in now, what a change. I mean, you guys are entertaining now in these big, huge places. So that's got to be kind of a change from when you first started.
You know, when the first record came out, we were doing these small clubs, and that was a lot of fun. But it was also difficult as well, being in such small rooms and trying to. I think at the time we were we probably could have been doing bigger rooms, but it was really cool to kind of get back to the roots and play those small clubs, and mm-hmm. then we moved on and we're playing huge arenas with Bon Jovi, and then we were back in theaters. We've kind of been all over the map, and I think it kind of just depends on where we are in our record cycle, or if we've got a song out on the radio at the time. You know, all of that kind of factors in. So we've been doing theaters for the most part when we're headlining over the past few years, and that's like a nice combination of a club and an arena. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the kind of intimate club feel that you would get out of a club, but you've also got, you know, obviously more seats and more room for more people, which gives it more of an arena feel. So I think that's been probably the most fun for us is playing these theaters.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, I got to ask you, I know you've got a family, I know you've got kids. How do you balance your family, your touring, your writing? How do you keep a balance with all of that?
It's a daily struggle. I think it's always trying to figure out ways to keep everybody connected, and obviously FaceTime helps quite a bit with the kids. But, you know, sometimes time zones are very tricky, and it's nothing works out. Like, mm-hmm. you try to call home and everybody's busy here doing whatever life they're doing, and then they try to get in touch with me and I'm on a different time zone and I'm, you know, either asleep or it's the heat of our day where we're, you know, just running and gunning, and so that tends to be you know, there are times where there's days where you don't get a chance to catch up at home at all, and it starts to feel a little isolating and feel a little disconnected, and you got to figure out ways and creative ways to get that back and just connect with your family. I think it's one of those things that you kind of figure it out as you go, and I'm always trying to figure out new ways to make it work, and I don't have a clue how people did it back in the day before cell phones. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. You know, and that's when you give a shout out to the wife and the kids, you know, for not putting up with, but for living with the lifestyle, you know, being there for you. I mean, that's when you got to say, hey, thanks. You guys are great.
Totally. Oh, my God. Her life sucks half the time. Mm-hmm. I come home and I'm like, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Why are you putting up with this? Why are you, you know, you could have had a way cooler life.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the real heroes, and mm-hmm. the reason we're able to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the band, aside from the drummer, has a kid, so
mm-hmm.
we all get it.
Yeah. Well, here you're coming to Sioux City, Iowa. Have you been to Iowa before? I think you have, but it's been a while, if I remember right.
Yes.
Yep. And so you'll be at Sioux City at the Orpheum, which is just a gorgeous venue. I think you guys are really going to like it. You'll be here August 8th, and tickets just went on sale. So today's the very first day that you could get tickets for the Sioux City show. So we're all looking forward to you coming, and I think it's going to be a great show. I'm counting the days, Chris.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time, and we can't wait. So we look very much forward to seeing all our Iowa fans again.
All right. Well, sounds good. And you know what? Thanks a lot, Chris. I know you're busy. I know you're with your family. So I'm going to let you go. But I want to thank you once again for visiting with me today.
Thank you, Fanny. Good to talk to you.
You too. Thanks.